Tell you what, meet all kinds of great people at the H&R AgriPower booth, and Jeff Morgan kind of put us together here. But George McDonald from Tennessee, talk.
Yes, hi. George McDonald from Smith County in Tennessee. It's a county that's about 50 miles northeast of Nashville, about an hour south of Bowling Green. Run a family farm. I'm the fourth generation. My daughter, Sarah, is the fifth generation. And our farming operation consists of corn, soybeans, wheat, milo, hay, strawberries, watermelons, and pumpkins.
I hear you're known for the strawberries. Is that right?
Well, they claim that I'm known for our strawberries, but we take great pride in our berries. But our guys take great pride in everything we do and representing not only our farm, but agriculture of this country.
Talk a little bit about the history of your farm. You guys, multi-generation farm, I'm sure.
We are. My great-grandfather bought our original home farm in 1927 on courthouse steps. It was 257 acres, and we've since then grown that to the farming operation we farm today.
I think it's nice. So also very active on the Farm Service Agency Committee in Tennessee. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm a huge believer in supporting agriculture and telling an agricultural story, being politically connected with not just farmers. We need to talk to someone besides ourselves. And I was recently appointed as chairman of the Tennessee Farm Service Agency Committee. Looking forward to that. I served on that several years ago under another administration, so I'm very happy to do that. You know, as you know, though, Alan, agriculture has a lot of issues at hand, and it's not the first time we've had issues, and it won't be the last time, but we have a lot of things that we need to try to get accomplished to help farmers all across the U.S.
I think it's so important, and that committee, your service on that committee means a lot to have farmers on there representing agriculture because, I mean, you know what your farmers need.
Exactly. Some of the times in past, you may not have those on there. On our committee, we go from East Tennessee to West Tennessee. The diversity of agriculture in Tennessee is like it is in Kentucky, very diverse. And we've got someone representing most all segments of agriculture on that committee. And that committee, you know, it's a liaison between Washington, D.C., the USDA, and farmers in the local counties. And we're the ones in between to help guide these counties and help make decisions for agriculture.
And I think it's so important. You got farmer assistance payments coming out before long, and that's something you guys will administer through the FSA office. And, you know, just to make sure our farmers, in times like this, it's important the farmers have the help they need.
You're exactly right. And the bridge payment will be helpful to farmers, but it's sure not going to make us whole. Farmers have suffered greatly in the past few years, not only from depressed commodity prices, but for the inflated prices we pay for all of our inputs that we have in, which that puts a tight squeeze and makes those margins slim to sometimes negative.
What are you hearing from your farmers in Tennessee, Georgia? You're hearing a lot about input costs?
Oh, yeah. Input cost is always an issue. And, you know, it's input cost, it's equipment cost, it's land cost. I don't know of anything that's really gone down in the past 5 years.
You know, obviously, you really enjoy what you do. How big a farm do you guys have?
Our operation today, we're in six different counties in Middle Tennessee. We farm a little over 9,000 acres. And our famous farm is we farm one in Nashville, President Andrew Jackson's farm, the Hermitage. We farm that, which that's a neat story. We've been there for many years, have a great relationship with them. We also believe in our operation in vertical integration. We have a distillery that we supply all the corn to in Chattanooga, Tennessee, called Chattanooga Whiskey. We're exclusive to them. We grow seed beans and we haul those many different places. But we try to sell most of our products, if at all possible, in consumer. For example, with our watermelons, we don't go through brokers. My daughter does the marketing on that, and Kyle works with me. We have direct contacts. Contacts with Kroger. A large part of our, about 50% of our melons will go through Kroger, through the Louisville Distribution Center, the Atlanta Distribution Center. And the neat thing, well, I wouldn't say the neat thing, some of the diversification that we have, some of the reason for that is, you know, when you got a crop of corn, you know about where your top gross is going to be. You're probably going to be $1,000, $1,200 acre. You know, watermelons at top's going to be $10,000 or $15,000 acre. You have a whole lot more labor costs, you have a lot more input costs, but you stand a chance of a larger margin there.
And I think diversification is the key this end time. I mean, with things struggling in some areas, and if you got a little bit of everything out there, it helps you.
Well, when I was a young kid, we were like typical Middle Tennessee farmers, a lot of diversification. Then we started going back to just doing more crops, row crops. And But today, we started growing strawberries 18 years ago, started growing watermelons about 10 years ago. And through that diversification, we're not dependent on the Chicago Board trade all the time. And people ask about produce. Well, who's your contracts? There are no produce contracts. Your last load is your contract.
It's a difference, that's for sure. So the Hermitage Farm, how did you guys wind up farming the Hermitage Farm? Tell me, I got to hear that story.
Well, I have a lot of contacts around different places, and the board of directors there for the Ladies Hermitage Association, which owns that property. It's not federally owned property, but they listed us out to farm that because they wanted the farm to be well-kept, look good for them. And, you know, good landowners, good property, land partners, as we call them, attract good land partners, and that's part of it, though.
It has to make you feel good to be able to farm a piece of history like that.
Oh, it does. I laugh and tell people, when I see guys, I say, I bet you've got a picture of one of our land partners in your billfold, and they look at me like I've got three eyes on my forehead, and I say, it's a $20 bill. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So for you, what is your end of the day? Obviously, a lot of service. You serve on the Farm Service Committee, agency as a chairman there. Why do you think it's important for folks in agriculture to give back and serve like that?
For years in agriculture, we have been accepted as farmers are the backbone of this country, and consumers recognize that. They still recognize that in some ways, but the scary part about it, though, is that on social media, we get Facebook scientists, we get people that knows all about what we are supposed to be doing and have never been in the field. And it's like President Roosevelt once said, farming looks easy when you're plowing with a pencil and 1,000 miles from a cornfield. And if farmers do not start taking a proactive stance, we will not be in the driver's seat. And I don't know about you, but I will buy my food from American farmers where I know what's been done to it. When we buy food from China, we have no idea what's been done to it. There's no way you can document it. And speaking of control, you know, food is not just nourishment for the body and the soul. Food is a national security issue, because if some country controls our food, they control us. And you know, if you don't believe that, how do you train animals? You train them with food. And people can become very addictive to that and dependent on someone else. And in this country also, we became a society that we expect to be able to go down the store 365 days a year and buy strawberries. Strawberries are a seasonal crop like many crops are. And I think in some ways we have to get back to that. But we're seeing a paradigm shift in how consumers are too, is that they want to know who grew their food.
They
care about who grew their food. They care about how it was grown. And, you know, we try to track that food back so when people's following us, they can see the progression of what we've been doing with it throughout the year.
So what is, in the end of the day, what do you love about farming and agriculture, George?
I grew up farming. I distinctly remember when I was in the first grade, my first grade teacher asking me, George, do you know what you want to do when you grow up? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. I want to be a farmer, and I will be a farmer. And to me, it's the pride of accomplishment, you know, from sunrise to sunset. Or is every day rosy? No. No, nothing is. If you worked in an ice cream factory, it's not rosy and all ice cream you could eat. But I live a blessed life. I get to do something I enjoy doing every day. And like when I speak to civic groups, for example, I always leave the final example. You know, we as American people have so many things to worry about. We've never had so many things to worry about. But there's one thing we do not worry about is, will we have enough food in this country? Because we have a bountiful supply of food and a safe supply of food that American farmers have produced. And when there's plenty of food, though, there's lots of problems. When there's no food, there's only one problem.
I love it. Thank you for taking a few minutes to visit with me. A pleasure to visit with you. Appreciate your service and can't wait to share your story. A great story, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.